some things are quite emotional. You're here this morning not because you chose to be, but because he chose you to be. And as I was sort of meditating recently, I just felt God was saying, in the garden, when the two creatures he made that could fellowship with him and have friendship with him were hiding and cowering because of sin. I wish it didn't do this. And with a heart of sadness, because God knows where they are, he said, Adam, where are you? And I think it must have, as it were, broken his heart. Where are you? And we're here this morning because thousands of years later, the plan that he made to bring you back into fellowship with him was accomplished through Jesus Christ. All the desire was his, not yours. All the purpose was, all the planning was his. All the years and eons of waiting was his, until Jesus would pay the price. It's not about you and me, it's about him. We get blessed. We get so blessed. But his was the desire, not yours and mine. We never desired him. As the psalmist, as Isaiah said, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's the one. And our scripture we're going to look at in a minute just talks about that. And it's not a holiday message. I wish it was something light and easy, but it is what it is. It's a way of saying, how are we going to do next year? Now, I'm sure Lee will do a New Year address. but this is saying, are we going to do better next year? Not a New Year's resolution, but are we going to go for God? And this, now, just for my original thought was, that's from our balcony 2 days ago. Fred and Ventura, just looking out over the Atlantic Ocean towards the Sahara. And there's the sun rising. And I was standing thinking, this is glorious and a bit blinding sort of thing. The next picture, hopefully, was the next day. This is the last day on Thursday, before the sun rose. And you may, you can't see it there, but the sky was a beautiful red, and the clouds are really unusual to me. Can we go back to the first one, please? And this morning at 4 o'clock, when I couldn't sleep, I was just meditating, just being quiet, and I felt God was saying this to me: these two pictures represent your message this morning. Now, lastminute.com, sort of thing. And so the first one is this, is that light, Lee mentioned light earlier, is the light of Jesus Christ what is being seen in your life? And the second one, or is it just you? Is the light of Jesus Christ shining in your life that people can see, or is it just you? Now, I could sit down now, because that's actually the message in a sense, as God dropped it into my heart. And something else I felt he dropped in my heart and is that I would say to you, I wish you a happy new year. Thank you. But God would say to you, and I believe he's saying this to you this morning, I wish you a holy new year. And that, what's holy mean? It means a life that pleases him. He wants in this new year for you to live a life that pleases him. If you're doing that, it's great. But all of us can seek God for what he's saying to us, a holy new year. Okay, can we have the scriptures then if you've got them? So this is Hebrews chapter 5. I get out of the way so we can all read it together. Hebrews 5, 7 to 6, 3. So if you can see it, would you read it with me? During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who would save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move forward beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Amen. Isn't the word of God great? The first part just lays a bit of a picture for the second, but the phrase, it dropped into my heart. I was just minding my own business, as you do, thinking about today, and the thought just dropped into my heart. By now, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles. And as I felt the Lord was saying, it's easy for us to slip, to let go of things, to stop pursuing God, to get involved in activities. And this is a great church for activities. And we can come on a Sunday and sit there and go home, and come another time and sit there and go home. And it's like our life's on autopilot. We're not really pressing into God. We've forgotten. We've let it slip. And here he says, you no longer try to understand. These are people who once walked with God in a great way, and they've had a lot of opposition, a lot of persecution. Later in Hebrews, he said, you've had the stealing of your goods. Your goods have been forfeit because you were Christians, Jewish Christians in a Jewish environment. And people have ostracized you, and they've persecuted you, and you've had a really hard time. Then he goes to tell them what a hard time people of faith had in the Old Testament, and what a harder time Jesus had. But they persevered, and they went through to God's blessing. And I believe this morning God wants us to renew our commitment to pursuing him and seeking to understand the life that he's given us. A couple of thoughts in the first part. This was just as I'm reading stuff that sort of cropped up. It might be a blessing. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one that could save him from death, and he was heard. Normally, when you think God hears your prayer, you're going to get the answer. Yes? If we ask anything according to his will, 1 John 5:14, 15, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we asked of him. And here it says, he was heard. But yet if he's asking not to die, that wasn't heard. Because this is the point where all of God's plans for you and me come to a crux. Literally, come to a crux. Will God's plan succeed? Will you and I be here this morning in relationship and fellowship with God? And this is, although it's already happened, that he's looking back and he's saying, this was that moment when your destiny hung on the response of Jesus Christ. And one commentator, Gundry, that I like, says this, Jesus wasn't asking not to die. He was asking that God would save him from death. In other words, he would rise again. That's wonderful. Because he said, for this purpose I was born. He knew he was here to die. He didn't want to stay dead. He wanted his father to raise him from the dead. That does something to me. He learned obedience in what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Or as one writer said, all who are obeying him. Because it's an ongoing relationship, just as salvation is. Once made perfect, a lot of the book of Hebrews is about the high priesthood of Jesus, his priesthood, his sacrifice, the temple in heaven where he sacrificed, and his blood was shed on earth, but he went into the heavenly place on our behalf. And this phrase, once made perfect, I'm told in the original language, is the same language for when in the Old Testament the priests were consecrated. And here what it's saying is that this is part of his priesthood being completed and him being consecrated so that he could offer his life for you and me as an acceptable sacrifice to our Heavenly Father. And he started to talk about Melchizedek, that strange character from Genesis, who just appears and blesses Abraham and he goes sort of thing. And he's saying that Jesus is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And then he starts to say, we've much to say about this. And in chapter 7 and 8 he does. But as a little diversion, we've much to say about this because I need to talk to you about Melchizedek. I need to talk to you about the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. But he says, it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. I was talking to someone recently about discipleship, and the thought occurred to me, a disciple is a disciple until they become a discipler. When you're able to disciple others, then that's a step further in your development. All of us, God wants to be disciplers, not just disciples. Because that's how people's lives are multiplied, when we help them to find Christ and help them to grow in Christ. Disciples. He's saying you ought to be teachers. You ought to be helping others. You still need help. And I want to ask you this morning, and believe me, I'm asking me because I'm really challenged by this. Are you still being helped or are you helping others? Are you still being discipled or are you discipling others? Because that's the plan. That's the plan, for you to teach others, for you to disciple others, each one reach one kind of thing. That's God's plan. I was thinking the other day, I have to change my language a bit. If it wasn't for reproduction, let's put it that way, the human race would be toast in about a generation, wouldn't it? Yes, thereabouts. So it's necessary. That's the way God's made life. And the same in our faith, reproduction. God wants us to be disciples as well as disciples. And I say, you no longer try to understand. It's a very simple message. Very simple message this morning. It's more of a challenge, I suppose. Are you being discipled? Are you discipling? Are you going for God in a way that will help others as well as yourself? Do we read this as well? Okay. Later on in chapter 6, I'm sort of early drawn to a conclusion, but I want us to be responsive this morning. If you feel I've communicated something, I don't have a sort of long message or not padded it out in any way. This is what he says. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We don't want you to become lazy, but imitate those who faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And 1 John 2:6 says, if we say we live in him, we should live as Jesus lived. We should live as Jesus lived. Now, I don't think any of us are lazy. And I don't think any of us choose to let things slip. But it happens. It happens to me. It happens to you. And I believe this morning, because I believe God put that in my heart, that for some of us, perhaps all of us in different ways, it'd be great to say, not just a New Year's resolution, but I am going forward in God. I'm going to renew my commitment to my spiritual life. I'm going to press into God. I'm going to stop there because I just run out of words. So I'm going to pray, and then if there's anything you feel you want to do response-wise, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to search your heart. Has God said something to you this morning that you need to respond to? Father God, the greatest thing was when you became human, when you came into a human form and dwelt amongst us and lived a life as we live, yet without sin. And this morning I'm asking you to touch people's hearts. You've touched my heart. That you so long for us, you so desire for us to have fellowship with you, that our lives will be focused on you first and foremost. And the other things, whether it's Christmas or New Year or anything else, that you would be first. And as we move into another year, you would be first in that year. And our lives would be renewed in our commitment to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If that's something that's touched your heart, why don't you just quickly put your hand up? Certainly a couple at least. That's the delight for me. More, yes. Room for more upstairs, as the bus conductor used to say. Perhaps I should have said, if you do want this, keep your hands down. Thank you, Lord Jesus.